Hi, it's Sean D'Souza, and what you're listening to is a series called 22 Minutes with Sean. But what we're going to explore in this series is a whole bunch of questions that members at 5000 BC ask. We'll look at how these questions can be answered in a very short period of time so that you can move ahead. So here we go, 22 Minutes with Sean.
I'm Sandy McMaster, and I run a company called Aloha Plenty, a small independent business that our primary focus or core is our McMaster Slack Key concerts, which are intended to preserve and perpetuate the traditional Hawaiian art form of Slack Key guitar.
Hi, Sandy. How are you doing?
Good.
All right. Let's take the questions away.
Okay. The first question I had is your thoughts and perspectives on taking a business that's been traditionally direct face-to-face with customers and expanding it to create products and services that are independent of the customer's location.
So this is approximately what Elvis Presley did. He was a musician, as you know, and he would do concerts, and he had to be at those concerts. The core of business really splits up into three parts, which is training, consulting, and leverage. And training is when you train someone to do exactly what you're doing. Now, that may be something like you're going to train them how to play the guitar, or you're going to train them how to run a business like yours. Your consulting is what you're doing right now, which is when you're showing up and you're playing the guitar. And finally, you have leverage, which is probably what you're doing already, which is music, videos, but it also extends to someone that probably wants to run a business like yours. It could be that you just want to give information in the form of music, or you want to give information on how to grow a business like yours. Something of that nature. So all of it is going to fit into one of these three boxes. And if you want to take your consulting and then move it somewhere else, then you're going to either have to move into a bit of training or you're going to have to move into leverage.
Okay. And that kind of leads right into the next thing that is something that I need to learn about, and I'm sure lots of other people do that are looking at reaching out to customers that may be all over the world, is are there any references that you have or insights that you can provide to those of us doing that would help us with the branding, I would call it, but you know, when you're face-to-face with your customers and that's your only interaction, they are dependent on your personality and your persona, and that's a lot of what makes a business what it is. You know, I found with working with Psychotactics and with 5000 BC over the years that it's your personality and Reinuka's personality that really shine through, and I come to depend on that. And depend on the way you perform and the integrity of your business. How do you take something and how did you do that?
So we're just iconoclasts to begin with. That's different. But what if you were doing it yourself? So what we tend to do when we're learning something is we copy someone else. We copy their method, their skill. Whatever we're copying, we're copying. And then we become like a duplicate of them. Most people never step out of that zone. Most people want to hang on to whatever it is they learned and then replicate that. And what I would say is that what we have done over the years is we've put in our own personality into things. So, for instance, to give you an example, You will never find a marketing book or many book or pretty much any book where it's some serious matter and then a food recipe in the middle. So why the food recipe? It's because I'm interested in food and I think it's fine to have a food recipe in the middle of a book. And you think, well, nobody else does that. And the question is, well, do we care about anybody else? Because eventually, when I put in the cartoons, when I put in stories about Ranuka's shoe size, when I put in things that have relevance to me, that book becomes uniquely my own. It's the same thing that I'll do in 5000 BC. It's the same thing that I'll do in, or similar things that I'll do in a course. So we could have a very important discussion about how to write a headline, for instance, and then once the client has finished that, I might post a video of Sting playing some song or something like that. And you go, what's that got to do with everything? But it lightens the whole thing. It brings out the personality. If you're doing something like training, take an example of the workshops. Now, we have what is called a treasure hunt. I think you call it a scavenger hunt or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that in the middle of the workshop. When we had a workshop in Queenstown, we had a four-day workshop. The first 2 days they worked. The third day we went out to drink wine. We went out to see the mountains. People say, well, no one does that. But we do that. As human beings, that's what Ranuka and I do, and that's what we would do. So we're not trying to be anybody else. We're just being ourselves. And then we're taking that personality and we're putting it in our work. And you might say, for instance, record some music, and maybe every other musician records the next piece of music and the third piece of music. You might decide to talk about the legend behind the music or the way you felt when you wrote that music or when you played that music. And that might be something that you want to do. Or you might put in like the bird sound that we just heard in the background, you know, and that pleases you a lot. And maybe that's just the interlude between the next song. Whatever it is, it's not something that is a formula. It is something that belongs to you already, but that most people choose to ignore because everybody else is not doing it, so how can we do it? And that's where the personality gets erased. You become just one of many people.
So it would be just to continue and build into whatever outreach products or whether it's a webinar or whatever, build into that the same thing that we would do in regular face-to-face type of interactions.
Yes, but I'd go even further than that. I would say there are bits that are interesting to you, you know, things that people don't know and that, you know, so for instance, no one would know that I'm interested in cooking or food if I didn't put those recipes in. It's now become part of what you would call our formula. So when I write a book, I have a grid and I follow that grid where there has to be the number of cartoons, the summary, the you know, how, what was my mindset when I wrote this book, the story behind the book. So all these things that don't exist in other books, photographs of, you know, some of our trips, all kinds of bizarre things that you'd not find in other books, let alone marketing books. The thing is to put in your own personality and do so on a consistent basis. And that's how it becomes your own.
Oh, that's really helpful. And the dog's commenting on it too.
Exactly. So maybe that's it, you know. So very early on, I had my niece who used to sing That's What It's All About. Like, you know, you put your left leg in, put your left. And she would sing some little ditty. And that was at the end of all the podcasts. People would constantly ask, what is that? It was something that they didn't expect, and I felt very I felt was interesting to me, so I put it in. And maybe maybe a dog's bark is probably too sharp for audio, but you could talk about your dog, possibly, in the middle of the audio. I don't know.
Well, we do that face-to-face, too, so I just have to think of it as if I was doing things face-to-face, and what would make it uniquely, even if it's not a concert, it's a different kind of, because we've thought about some training and some other things like that, so think about it as if it's the same thing, as if I'm with them face-to-face and what we would do.
But you have to make it consistent. So it has to be like what we do is we, after a while, we work out, okay, this is going to be a format for workshops. This is going to be a format for books. So we create the consistency and then people start looking forward to it. So that's the kind of thing that you start looking forward to when you get to psychotactics.
Okay. You know, you're absolutely right about that. It makes total sense. Are there any articles that you have or other resources or books that can help small businesses learn how to create better stability as being a small independent business when, I guess, with diverse sources for your customers so that you're not always dependent on just the one typical source that you've had since you've started the business?
So the thing has always been the three-pronged system, which is the consulting, the training, and the leverage. And usually a business will have a dependence on one of them. So, for instance, Psychotactics has very little consulting at this point. But when I started out, we had a lot of consulting, which is the same as you. You're probably doing the concerts. You have to show up at a specific time. And that becomes a consulting thing. There is a high dependence on it.
Right.
The training, probably you don't have anything. I didn't have anything to begin with. But we started putting in that. And then finally, we had the leverage, which is the books and stuff, which didn't require us to be there. Now, what also happens is as you go through the business, so that creates a kind of stability because a person might get to the training and then decide to do consulting, as in, you know, call you to a concert or come to a concert or whatever. A person might decide to buy one of the videos or audio or webinars or whatever and then jump over to the training. So what it becomes is three doorways. So straight away, you have three sources of revenue, but you also have three doorways instead of one doorway. And that becomes very critical because it, in a way, it's not just three doorways, because a person reading, you know, three different people buying three different books means three sources of income. You know, it keeps multiplying in a way that you wouldn't expect. The problem is that as you go through your business, so if you say around 2010, we slipped over to a dependence on training, which we have now whittled back to about 50% or 40%. But we were doing so much training that it involved me showing up on a consistent basis as well. So what we have to do is we have to sit down and draw a little circle and like a pie and then go, look, this is how much time I want to spend in consulting. This is how much time I want to spend in training. This is how much time I want to spend in leverage. And then accordingly move our business in those directions. That is probably the best advice I can give you just in terms of progressing further.
Oh, that's just excellent, because we haven't done that, at least ourselves personally, but even looking at it from business, when I was in my day job, that needed to be an analysis that was done so that we were putting the efforts in the right places and not just being totally dependent on one particular area. So that's really good. My fourth question, I think I already asked it in a different way, or you answered it as you were answering one of the other ones.
Well, ask it anyway. It's fine. We'll.
Okay. I was had written down that for a business that's historically direct to a customer, to expand and stabilize by creating related products and services. And we just kind of talked about that as far as training and consulting, or the training and the leverage versus what would be the face-to-face in the consulting standpoint. And particularly, I know what we felt we needed to do is to expand into more internet-related things in the area of training and consulting and the what you called leverage.
Okay, so yeah, we kind of covered that, yeah.
Yeah. Let me just read back through my notes. I'll see if I've got. We talked about the branding. That to me was a really important part of this. Do you have any books or articles that would help people that are trying to do the same thing that we are?
I do. We had the Brain Alchemy Masterclass where the three-prong system is talked about, and I could put that link up in 5000 BC. Have I written deeply about the three-prong system? No, that's part of my plan for 2017.
Yeah. Well, I'll be looking forward to that. I did do the Brain Alchemy before, and it was incredibly helpful. That was early when you first were coming out with that, I think. And that I was looking at it for the day job business, and it was extremely helpful with that, and I learned a lot from it myself. I'm going to have to dig through my tubs and find it, and maybe I should just take it all over again. That would be a good idea.
Yeah. So if you have any other questions, just, you know, feel free to ad lib. You don't have to have them written down now. So.
Okay. Well, the other challenge is more directly with our work with the music and tools on the internet for making the music and the live experience available streaming. And that's just a matter of me having to research more in that area. But I do know that other businesses and people that I work with on island here are looking at trying to figure out how to expand their business out and be able to reach people more via the internet, whether it's with their products that they sell in their retail shops. And it's a real challenge to change that mindset.
One of the things that you want to look at is a business that's already doing reasonably well, and then get on their list, see what they're doing, and that gives you ideas. So when we started out in business, a lot of the things that seem very mundane today were completely different for us. We had no idea what we were supposed to do. So the way we went about it was to sign up for something, see what they were selling, buy some stuff. And that's how we decided what we were going to do as well. It gave us some ideas. When you do it with two or three different people, you get two or three different ideas. This sometimes involves buying stuff as well. So very early, and even today, I guess, many clients would sign up to a course because they wanted to see how I was doing the course. They would sign up to a whole consulting program because they wanted to see how I was doing the consulting program. And sometimes that's the way to go, where you become part of another system to see how it's being done and then use the lessons that you get from there in your own system. Now, a lot of people may say, well, that's just copying, but there is nothing really that original. When you copy everything exactly, that's when you're just plagiarizing. But when you get inspiration, you take stuff from other sources, that's not really copying. It's when you just photocopy everything and do everything exactly the same and put the same name and same system and everything, that's when it gets really nasty and people get really upset. But if you're if you're following a system, that's different. So I would say that you need to work on looking at somebody else in your area, because that's what a tennis player will do. You know, a tennis player will look at what the top tennis player is doing and then accordingly try and replicate that system, you know, go to that academy, work with that coach, something like that.
Here's a good question in relation to that. So one is looking at what other people are already doing, especially people that are successful at it. What are is your advice or thoughts on, I come from a software background, so beta testing and all that is, you know, I learned all that in school and did it for years. How about putting on, a teleseminar, but not having it all fully worked out and really just trying it out on a group of potential customers? Is that a good idea, a bad idea? What if it flops?
Everything is going to be a flop at some level. So there is no such thing as everything is perfect. In fact, most of what we had to do to get the business going, and this is the problem that a lot of people have, they think that it has to be perfect. This program, this little, when we started out, we had a thing called the Protégé program, and people paid quite a lot of money for it. It was a year-long program, but I didn't have any notes ready. I didn't have any audio ready. I didn't have any video ready. And we just created the program, and then I would prepare the information week to week, and most of it was delivered not through any notes, but just through a teleseminar. So we had 40 teleseminars in that week, in that year. And then I would give them assignments, which they would do on the forum. So we built that. The next year, we added the notes. The third year, we kind of polished on the audio and stuff. I don't think it's a bad idea at all to put your information out there in a raw format. That's what makes it, that's what gives it the feedback. That's what enables people to come back and say, you know, you could fix this or whatever. People aren't inherently looking for something that's perfect. They're usually looking for something kind of half-baked in a way. That sounds really bad. They're looking for something that will give them a kind of result. What you consider to be fully baked is probably overbaked to them. They can't do all of that stuff. So when I did the first presentation of the brain audit, would I do that presentation today? Obviously not. But did it work for 20 people that were in that room on that day? And the answer is yes. It worked for at least 10 of them. And I know that because they signed up for something after that. So, you know, what we think is perfect is usually not perfect. And what we think is underbaked is not underbaked. We just have to, the thing is that when you look at whatever you're doing, think of it as a sales pitch, as it were. And sales is a transfer of enthusiasm. So if you give your absolute best on that day, then the audience feels that energy. And when they feel that energy, they realize that that's what you can do. And they respond accordingly. And I don't think, I mean, of course, there are going to be grumpy people everywhere, but by and large, we haven't run into them.
Well, that's really helpful, because I tend to overanalyze and I want to make everything perfect and have all my little handouts ready. But that, it'll never be good enough. And then I don't get the feedback. And so I've been toying with going ahead and doing some things without having everything fully thought out and basically doing in small segments and getting feedback each step of the way from the people that participate. But it's a scary leap because I haven't done that before. I usually always want to have all my ducks in a row.
Yep. Everything is scary until you do it. And when you do it, then you realize it wasn't that scary, or the next time you fix it. That's how you go ahead.
And as I'm saying that, I'm actually realizing that, you know, when we first started this one concert series, I made sure I had my set list planned out and everything else. And you know what? I never used it because I always just changed things based on the audience and as things went. And finally, I stopped carrying those little pieces of paper around with me because they weren't of actually any use. And they made absolutely no difference to the people that were in the audience. So
exactly. The rule is very simple. You do the best you can right now. You just transfer of enthusiasm. Remember that. If you transfer your enthusiasm across, even if it's, you know, not complete, it's still fine.
That's an excellent way to say it, too. I never thought of sales as a transfer of enthusiasm, but that's actually what it is. And I can see that in what we already do, because that's what makes people want to buy CDs that we have,
yep.
Recordings, because they've become enthusiastic through the interchange that happens. That's excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome. And thank you for this call. It was great speaking to you.
It went so fast. Thanks, Sean.
You're welcome. See you in the... Yeah, see you in 5000 BC. Yeah, bye-bye.